Let's read together Exodus chapter 4, verses 18 through 31. In this second half of Exodus chapter 4, we have the return of Moses to Egypt after 40 years in the land of Midian. Exodus chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. So Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, "Please let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see whether they are still alive." And Jethro said to Moses, "Go in peace." Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, "Go return to Egypt, for all the men who sought your life are dead." Then Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said to Moses, "When you go back to Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand, but I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, 'Thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. But if he refuses to let him go, indeed I will kill your son, your firstborn.'" And it came to pass on the way at the encampment that the Lord met Moses, met him, and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at Moses' feet and said, "Surely you are a husband of blood to me." So he let him go. Then she said, "You are a husband of blood because of the circumcision." And the Lord said to Aaron, "Go into the wilderness to meet Moses." So he went and met him on the mountain of God and kissed him. So Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him, and all the signs which he had commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then he did the signs in the sight of the people. So the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. Let's begin our study of Exodus chapter 4 this morning with some background notes. The life of Moses is divided into three 40-year periods. 40 years of being raised and educated in Egypt, 40 years of being trained in the school of God in the land of Midian, and 40 years of being God's leader for the children of Israel. In Exodus chapter 3, at the end of Moses' 40-year training period in the land of Midian, God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush as the great I Am. It was here that Moses received God's call to go back to Egypt and to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt in the Exodus. Moses was reluctant at first, but God gave Moses some confirming signs in the first half of chapter 4. And God revealed to Moses that those in Egypt who had wanted to kill him were now dead themselves, as we see in verse 19. Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, "Go return to Egypt, for all the men who sought your life are dead." Thutmose III, Pharaoh of the oppression, would certainly be included in this group of men that were now dead. So here in the second half of Exodus chapter 4, Moses is on his way back to Egypt with his wife Zipporah and his two sons, Gershom and Eleazar. The Lord informed Moses that when he returned to Egypt, the new Pharaoh, who we believe was Amenhotep II, would not let the children of Israel leave Egypt. After all, the children of Israel were Egypt's slave labor force. So why let them go, right? We see in verse 21 that even after the wonders, that is the plagues that God would bring on Egypt, Pharaoh would still not let the people go. In fact, God told Moses that he would harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will not let the people go, as we see in verse 21. And the Lord said to Moses, "When you go back to Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand, but I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go." Now, does that truth bother you? The fact that God would harden Pharaoh's heart? Now, if you follow the text closely in the chapters ahead, you will find that it only says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart after Pharaoh hardened his own heart. That is, in response to Pharaoh's defiance of God, God hardened his heart. Now, here in chapter 4, God is informing Moses that he will harden Pharaoh's heart so that his judgments, including the death of the firstborn son, would properly fall on Egypt, which had enslaved Israel, God's firstborn son. Verses 22 and 23, once again. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I say to you, let my son go, that he may serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, indeed, I will kill your son, your firstborn. So much for background. Let's move to our doctrinal teaching points for this portion of Exodus chapter 4. Doctrinal point number one. Obedience should follow God's commission to serve. Obedience should follow God's commission to serve. Verses 24 through 26 are quite hard to understand, aren't they? Let's read those verses again. And it came to pass on the way at the encampment that the Lord met Moses and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah, that's Moses' wife, took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at Moses' feet, and said, truly you are a husband of blood to me. So God let Moses go. Then she said, you are a husband of blood because of the circumcision. What's going on here anyway? This needs some explanation. The sign of the Abrahamic covenant was circumcision. It was instituted back in Genesis chapter 17. And the Hebrews were expected to obey God in this matter. I'm reading Genesis 17. Verse 10, this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. Apparently, Moses had not circumcised his sons because of Zipporah's resistance and her dislike of this cutting rite. As a result of his disobedience in this matter, Moses faced death at the hand of the Lord. Most likely, this was through disciplinary sickness at the lodging place or encampment on the way to Egypt. That's probably why Zipporah does the circumcising here, not Moses, because Moses is near death on his bed of sickness. We see Zipporah's disgust with this whole matter in her reaction here. But in spite of her feelings, she did the right thing and submitted to the will of the Lord here, and God restored Moses. Because he was finally obedient in this matter of circumcision. Do you see the lesson here for us? As a believer, do you want to serve the Lord? God expects his servants to obey. Let me ask you, are there areas in your life right now where you are being a disobedient Christian? What about in your submission to the authority structures that God has put in your life? What about in the matter of getting things right between you and a fellow believer that you've offended? What about that area of service that the Lord's been talking to you about lately? Maybe your disobedience is like that of the disobedience of Moses here. It's just a matter of overlooking it. Maybe because of the pressure of some Zipporah in your life. Zipporah can represent any number of influencing factors in your life. Listen, do you want to serve the Lord? We're all called to serve. If you're a believer, you're called to serve. We're all called to serve. Obedience should follow God's commission to serve. Doctrinal point number two. Worship should follow God's message of salvation. Worship should follow God's message of salvation. In verse 27, we read, and the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. So he went and met him on the mountain of God and kissed him. The mountain of God here is Mount Sinai. Now, this verse is certainly a point in favor of Mount Sinai being located in the Sinai Peninsula between Midian and Egypt and not in Saudi Arabia, as some folks have claimed recently. So Moses and Aaron, who was coming from Egypt, met at Mount Sinai, more or less the halfway point, depending on the exact location of Mount Sinai, and now they traveled back to Egypt together. When they arrived in Egypt, They assembled all the people together and showed them the signs and told them all that the Lord had pronounced and promised, that the Lord was concerned about them and planned to deliver them out of Egypt. And guess what? The people believed. They believed all that the Lord had spoken, even though it certainly didn't look like the Lord cared for this people under bondage. And even though it seemed impossible for there to be a massive exodus of a whole nation. But they believed. And not only did the people believe, but they worshiped the Lord for his message of salvation from Egypt. Verse 31. So the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. Worship is always the proper response to God's message of salvation. I trust that's your response to God's message of salvation. God's message of salvation is that Christ has died on the cross for your sins, and God offers you the gift of salvation, salvation from the penalty of your sins, if you just believe and receive Christ as your Savior. Have you believed God's message of salvation and become a Christian yet? I trust that everyone here this morning is a true believer. Now your proper response is to worship the Lord for what he's done for you. You know, this evening, right here, there's a service for all believers that's specifically designed for the very purpose of worshiping the Lord. Worship should follow God's message of salvation. Practical application. Are you willing to return to an unpleasant situation to serve the Lord? Are you willing to return to an unpleasant situation to serve the Lord? If I were to ask you this morning, how many of you want to serve the Lord? I'm sure all believers would raise hands and say yes. But now suppose I were to go further and ask, how many of you in serving the Lord would be willing to return to an unpleasant situation to serve the Lord? I'm not sure we'd get the same response. Moses was asked to return to an unpleasant situation in order to serve the Lord. Going back to Egypt was not a vacation for Moses. What about us? We love the idea of the Lord calling us to serve him in Hawaii, right? Don't you like that? We love the idea of being called to Hawaii. But what about to some unpleasant situation? Especially if it means to return to people or places that were not friendly to us in the past, and we had a bad experience there. And yet that may be what the Lord asks us to do to serve him, because we know these people and places like no one else does. You may be uniquely qualified now to serve the Lord in that particular situation. So let me ask you, is the Lord calling you to serve him in some unpleasant situation? Are you willing? Are you willing to return to an unpleasant situation to serve the Lord?